Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tram. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group, NCA, in Zuchus of Rivka Bela, Bas Nechama Shifra, and in honor of Rabbi Tram.
We are learning today the halachas of eating bread. This is broken up into three basic concepts: the bracha, cutting the bread, and which bread goes first. We know that eating bread is seen as the most important of all the foods, and that is why we have a special bracha before and a special bracha afterwards. The bracha before is Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, that Hashem brings out bread from the land, and Birkas HaMazon afterwards, which is actually one of the only biblical brachas, one of the only brachas which are mandated by the Torah itself. So let's jump straight in. Our first concept is looking at the actual bracha on the bread itself. So let's start at the beginning. We have a few questions here to look through together. Question number one is, what types of bread need these brachas? So it is only if the bread is made up of five of the main grains, that is wheat, barley, oats, spelt, and rye, but bread made out of other types of grain, let's say it is cornbread, it is rice bread, that would not necessitate a hamotzi and a berakas hamazon. We will deal with other types of bread like pastries called pasal abakisnin later on. So why can I not speak between Nitilas Yadayim and Hamotzi? So the Gemara says there are three techifos, which means three connections which have to be immediate. One is tekef l'netila bracha, between the washing of one's hands, there needs to be a bracha. And some understand this to mean that this is Nitilas Yadayim and Birkas Hamotzi, so one should not make a break. Can I answer amen during that time? The answer is yes, just not between the washing and drying, which is would be a considered a break between the bracha and of the washing and the finishing of the washing. What else should be avoided during this period of time? So one should avoid walking from one house to another house, or taking a break longer than the amount of time it takes to walk 22 amos, which is about 12 seconds. Wait a second, but what if I'm at a big meal? There's 27 people at the table and they're all washing and I washed first. So how does that work precisely? So it means that that which is within one's control. So one needs to minimize the amount of time it takes from washing to the bracha. That's what it means. So if one's by oneself, wash and sit down and eat. If one is washing with other people, wash and sit down and eat and wait. That waiting obviously is outside of one's control. What if I did talk? Do I need to rewash? So if one said a word or two, one just forgot. That's not considered a hafsek. One does not need to go back. And if one has started a conversation, then one would have to, or one made a break, then one would have to go back and wash as well. It should be noted that there are certain things that one may say between washing and the hamotzi, and those are things that are needed for the meal. We'll deal with some of those later on as well. Do I need to touch the bread before I make the bracha? The answer is yes. Before one makes the bracha, one should lift or hold the bread with one's two hands. Why is this? So the Kitzur actually gives a few reasons. One is because one should have all 10 fingers on the bread, because there are 10 mitzvahs which pertain to bread. The 10 fingers are representing the 10 mitzvahs which relate to bread, which are the when plowing, one cannot plow with a donkey and an ox together. One cannot plant kilayim, mixed grains, mixed species together. Leket is leaving behind some of the grain. Shechacha is forgotten grain in the field. Peah is a corner. Lo sachsom is not muzzling the ox when plowing. Truma, giving the part to the coin. Ma'aser Rishon, giving the tithe to the Levi. Ma'aser Sheni, giving the tithe, which is one eats in Yerushalayim. And Challah, and separating Challah. These are 10 mitzvahs which are related to it, so we represent those by the 10 fingers we place on the bread as well. There are also 10 words in the Birkas HaMotzi. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, HaMotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Those are 10 words to reflect those 10 mitzvahs, and which is also reflected in the 10 fingers. And similarly, in the pasuk in Sefer Devarim Parshas Ekev, where it describes the beauty of the land of Israel, says Eretz Chita Usara Gefen Utayna V'Rimon Eretz Eis Shemen Udvash, describing the seven species of the land of Israel. And the next pasuk is Achat V'Savata V'Rachta, you shall eat and be satiated and blessed. There's 10 words in that pasuk as well. I see people lifting the bread up. Why are people lifting up the bread? The answer is because when one lifts it up at the name of Hashem, it's not about when one says the word Lechem, it's when one says Elokeinu Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam. Are there any pointers to the brachas? The Kitzur says a quick reminder to say the word, the hey, carefully in ha moitzi, not ha moitzi, ha moitzi. And also, a person needs to say the word lechem and min. It ends and starts with the same letter, the mem, to make a break between them. Ha moitzi lechem min, ha moitzi lechem. Min ha'aretz, not to merge those two words. What should be the next order of business? The most important thing is to eat as soon as possible after saying the bracha, so there shouldn't be a gap between the bracha and the eating. And so if one's alone, that's easy. With guests, one needs to take a quick bite from the first piece and then distribute the rest as quickly and expeditiously as possible. What is this business about salt on the table? So the Kitzur points out the salt should be on the table because the table is considered like a mizbech, and that the halacha is that b'kol korbanecha melach timlach, you need to have salt on all of your sacrifices, and so there is salt on the table as well. Are there any other halachas which relate to this idea of the table being like a mizbech? The answer is many. But one, just for here, the Kitzur points out, is best not to kill anything on the table. That means to say, even if there's a bug which is running across the table, one should not kill it on the table, because the table is like an altar. It's a holy place. One should not kill on the table. Let's go a little further. Concept number two is cutting the bread. Where is the best place for me to cut the bread? The Gemara gives a very fascinating story about Rav Ashi, who's relating the story of Menashe HaMelech, who appears in Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim, who was a particularly evil king, as the Tanakh itself describes it. But Rav Ashi spoke of him in a way which was somewhat mocking. And Menashe HaMelech came to Rav Ashi in the dream and said, How dare you mock me? If you lived at our time when there was such an urge to Avodah Zorah, you would be lifting the skirt tails of your robe to run to Avodah Zorah, Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says, and he embarrassed Rav Ashi by asking him a question about where do you cut the bread. Rav Ashi didn't know where the cutting would be. And what's fascinating about that is that we know that the best place to cut the bread is where the ovens bake it the hardest. So where is that? So in the older days, it used to be that the ovens were fire ovens and the heat was not necessarily the same across. The oven, the doughs are also less refined. So there'd be one place, like on the top, on the one side, would be the place where it was most well baked. And that would be usually the top side, which would be where it's cut. Today, a lot of the breads that we're having are certainly not home baked. And they're made in machines which are uniformly heated. And therefore, there's less of this particular place that they had the expertise about knowing about in the previous years. However, obviously the top is more baked than the bottom. Just darker, harder, and therefore that's certainly the place one should cut it from, is anywhere on the top. What about an elderly person who cannot chew the hard area? So if that's the case, they should cut the softer area. What's this business with cutting the bread a little bit before the bracha? I see people like doing a little incision. So the truth is that there's an importance of making as least amount of time of break between saying the bracha and eating. So if one has a very tough bread, which most breads were like, not the soft bakery goods that we get today, but the breads were baked and they were tough on the top, so it'd be better to start the cut beforehand to minimize the amount of time afterwards to cut later on as well. And so obviously if a person makes an incision on the bread and cannot find that incision, is looking and wasting time, then one is clearly yotzah schar b'avitah, that you've lost everything everything you want to do achieve. Why not just slice the bread before the bracha altogether? That makes it much simpler. So the answer is because one of the important things is to say a bracha on a shalem, on a full piece of bread. And therefore, one has to be careful about this, not to cut it fully. Is this true about Shabbos and the weekday? The answer is both. Most of the halachas we're learning up over here are both applicable to weekday eating of bread and Shabbos eating of bread. Just over here, by Shabbos, one has to be especially careful not to make an incision which could separate the two parts of the bread, because then one would lose shalem, and there's a mitzvah of having lechem mishneh, which is shalem on Shabbos as well. How big should I cut the pieces for my bread? So if I'm eating alone, then they should not be too small, because it looks like I'm a stingy person. Should not be too big like a door wedge, because it looks like I'm a greedy person. But on Shabbos, one can cut bigger pieces, so that ensuring that every guest that one is cutting for is going to get at least a kazayas as well. Similarly, on Shabbos, even if I'm by myself, I'm allowed to cut a piece big enough that I'll be able to eat throughout the course of the meal, and it won't look like I'm being greedy, because that's just the way I eat on Shabbos, more berevach, with more space as well. If I have bread from Hamoitzi and I have other bread, which is, let's say, from last night or from another time, which is any precedence which one I eat? The answer is yes. The bread that you just made the bracha on Hamoitzi on, one should show the extra alacrity in and dearness of the mitzvah by eating it first. What other honor should I treat the bread with our Seder Hamoitzi with? So Kitzur says it is best not to offer it to a non-Jew. It's also best not to offer it to a pet in one's house. If one said the bracha, there's a certain holiness that one keeps with that bread as well. How do I pass the bread? So it's important not to throw bread. That's disrespectful. And it's also important not to pass bread into somebody else's hand. That's why many people have a bread basket or they have a bread plate that they send around. And it's best not to pass into their hand. That's because that is an act which is done by avelim, and one does not want to replicate this in this circumstance. Finally, we're going to look at one last concept, and that's the concept of which bread goes first. And we know that the mitzvah is to make the bracha on the most important bread first. We'll see some applications of this. So let's say I have a shalem and a chaticha, a full piece and a broken piece. Which one goes first? The full piece always goes first. What happens if the chaticha, the broken piece, is half a loaf of bread and it's bigger than the roll that I have? So that is still the shalem goes first. The roll is still complete and is seen as a higher level. What if the shalem was a lower grade of flour? So let's say it was spelt roll and it was a wheat loaf, which is cut. So then in this case, we go after the finer level flour, which would be the piece which is made out of wheat. Unless, of course, the shalem is barley and the chaticha is wheat. So then both of these are mentioned in the pasuk, Eretz Chita U'Sa'ara. So barley and wheat are mentioned. And then in this case, a person should say a bracha on both. That would be a broken piece of wheat bread and a full barley bread. One should say the bracha on both and cut both. If they're both full, or both pieces, and they're both the same type of grain. Is there any other triage? Answer is yes. Refined flour goes before the coarser flour, and bigger pieces go before smaller pieces, or bigger shalems go before smaller shalems. If I don't keep pas Yisrael, but I have in front of me equal in all other ways, a pas Yisrael loaf and a pas Yaakov loaf, which is their precedence, the answer is yes. Even if you don't keep pas Yisrael, there certainly is more value to having the pas Yisrael, so one should have the pas Yisrael and then say the bracha on it as well. What if the pas Yisrael is less refined than the pas Akum, than the non-kosher, the non-Jewish cooked bread? In that case, you can choose which you prefer. And finally, last question, what if I want one bread and the other I didn't even plan to have for the meal? So I have two rolls that I want to make for, I have in front of me, for my Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos as an example, and I don't plan to have the one during the meal. So in that case, if I don't plan to have it, then it isn't part of the triage. So even if it is more refined, even if it is bigger, even if it is a better type of grain, because I'm not intending to have it for the meal, there's no triage in having it first. One just is, one is using it for the Lechem Mishnah, one's not using it at all. In that case, one can choose the one that one wants because one will be eating it during the meal. So a lot of very fascinating details which surround the idea of just how to make hamotzi. With this, we conclude and we'll jump straight into the halachos of having the seudah, the meal itself. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.